This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Nick Prewer thinks all great ideas spring from boredom. That revelation came to him in high school. He was working at McDonald's, looking for something to do, when he came across a training video for McDonald's janitors. Nick found it insulting, badly produced, and in so many other ways, jaw-droppingly ridiculous. Before long, Nick and his friends were inviting people over on Friday nights to watch it. And then they combed garage sales, thrift stores, they were trying to find more weird tapes to watch. And after 15 years of collecting trashy videos, Nick and his friend Joe Pickett decided to have a festival of found films. That was back in 2004. The latest found footage festival is coming to the Rialto Theater in Raleigh tomorrow night. And Nick Prewer joins us from the studios of the Radio Foundation in New York. Nick, welcome. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell us more about this, how it all started in that McDonald's video. What was so funny about it?
Well, you know, I guess the cardinal mistake was that it tried to be both informative and entertaining. And I think that that's always, the standard fault of anybody trying to do a training video. And especially McDonald's. You know, this is a billion-dollar corporation. The best idea they had was that they'd have this dopey trainee who wanted to be a McDonald's janitor, his first day on the job, and this overly perky crew trainer who's very excited to teach him how to, like, take out the garbage. And the idea, the plot was that if he cleaned really hard, he could hope to see this mythical thing called McC, which they explained there's regular clean and then there's McDonald's clean. So you hear his voice saying, come on, buff that window, see McC, and it's pretty disturbing.
So that gets it going. And this is hours of fun for weeks and weeks and weeks, right? Bring friends in and it's laughs on a Friday night, right?
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a lot going on in our hometown. So small town outside of Wisconsin. And on a Friday night, yeah, we'd invite friends over to my parents' living room. Nobody had driver's licenses yet. And we'd sit around and watch the McC video and crack jokes. And we even made a short film based around it. We, you know, it was an obsession. And to help fuel the fire, we just started looking in other places, other workplaces and Salvation Armies, garage sales, for more material.
So, and you found lots of stuff, I guess.
Go ahead. The stuff, I guess, that we gravitated towards was like stuff that wasn't meant to be seen in public. Training videos, exercise videos, home movies. And, that's why it's so fun to show them in public.
When did the idea for the Found Footage Festival emerge and what was your impression? What did you think you were going to do?
Well, you know, over the years we had collected, hundreds of tapes and just thought, I guess we have something here. Maybe we'll take it outside of our living room and try it in the back of a bar in New York and see if anybody shows up. And we really didn't think they would, though. We thought it'd be our friends and friends of friends, and because it kind of seemed like an inside joke, you know?
Yeah.
Why would people willingly pay to come watch terrible material, you know? And but to our surprise, you know, we got written up, people came to the show, and it struck a chord with people in ways that we couldn't have imagined. Something about this stuff just seemed uncomfortably familiar.
The business plan of Hollywood is that people will pay to see terrible material, so you shouldn't have worried. But I want to hear a clip right now. This is a clip from one of the videos that you managed to find. This one is called Rent a Friend. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm Sam, and basically I'm here because I want to be your friend. What's your name? Yeah, you know, I see that. That is you, isn't it? Do you mind if I take a look around your place a little bit?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the premise behind that one, Nick.
Well, you know, we were in Chicago last year, and just when you think you've found every video there is to be found, you find something called Rent a Friend, still in its shrink wrap from 1986 at a thrift store. And it's weirder than you even could imagine. I mean, it's this guy sitting in an easy chair and asking you questions that you're supposed to answer to your TV screen as if he's your virtual friend. And, as if that isn't bizarre enough, he starts telling you about himself. And about 15 minutes in, you know, he's speaking extemporaneously and he runs out of things to say and begins to reveal, you know, far too much about himself, like things you shouldn't know about this guy. And yeah, it's, I guess the idea is if you were lonely and you had a VCR, this was the thing you could put in.
And this, and you used the word virtual, although I suppose we should take us back. This is really back in the days of VHS and VCRs. So, and when folks are really being able to get into the do-it-yourself mode, a lot easier. So everybody's trying to figure out what they can do with this new technology. I can tape myself.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, there were all sorts of bad ideas bandied about at the time because this was like, yeah, it was a new technology, video in your home for the first time. You can control it, you know? And so there you saw interactive VCR games that you could play where you'd have to fast forward to, you know, see whether you won. And, you know, you can only play that once. And there's a whole series of self-hypnosis videos. They'd show you hypnotic imagery on screen and subliminal messages. And you could – there's actually one we're going to be playing in North Carolina this week called Hypnotize Yourself to Be a Better Racquetball Player. And so it doesn't get much more 1985 than that.
No, that's great. Because if you think about it, the way to do it would be to get away from your TV and go play racquetball.
No. Don't you can that. Hypnotize yourself to do anything. Just put it in the video.
I get it.
That's all there is to
when
it.
When this guy – now, I want to hear more about this guy too. The friend – he's going to – you're going to rent a friend. And he was very serious about this. People were lonely. You could get a video and watch him, and he would talk to you. And he sold – he made like 2,000 copies. Is that right?
Yeah, he. We actually tracked the guy down. A lot of times, you know, out of our own curiosity, we like to go track down the people in the videos and find out what the backstory is, and then share that with people. And we were in Chicago about a month ago, and we met Rent-A-Friend. We went to his house, and we had so many questions for this guy. And you know, just I kind of, what the heck were you thinking? That was the first question.
And his answer.
He honestly thought he was the creative director at a video production company in Chicago, and they tasked him with coming up with the next great VHS concept. And this was his idea. He thought, you know, this would be helpful for people who didn't have friends. They'd have one anytime they wanted at the push of a button. And, you know, I think he acknowledged that it was a little goofy, but he really thought that this would help people. And he said that, yeah, they made a bunch of copies. They only ever sold maybe about 100. And he did say, however, that he once got a letter from somebody in prison who thanked him for it. So
I guess
it got out there a little bit.
If you only help one person, then these 2,000 videos are worth it. Well, you mentioned the trouble you get into trying to be both informative and entertaining. And I think Rap Rat probably is a pretty good demonstration of that. Let's listen.
The TV is on. This is the all-new video board game for children who just want to have fun. The tape is playing, so let's get ready. The TV is on.
Rap Rat may pop up at any point in the game to the sound of a... When he appears and you hear the... You must stop playing at once and listen to him. If he asks you to do something, you must do it, because he's Rap Rat and he's the boss.
I'm a Rap Rat!
Rap Rat!
I'm history! And all yours for the taking. Okay, let's go.
Because the kids, they love the rap.
Yeah,
and
the kids
TV.
Love the rap. Yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid you've just irritated every listener out there. They've turned off the radio at this point. And who can blame them? Yeah, that is one of the more irritating videos I've found. It's a VCR board game from Australia, no less, called Rap Rat. And it's this really disturbing, like, Peter Jackson rat puppet trying to rap. But, it, you know, it kind of sounds like that Max Headroom stuttering is what they thought rap was. And, yeah, it irritated a whole generation of Australian kids, I think.
Now, are you looking for these videos yourself these days? Or now that you've got the festival up and running, people, I guess, are sending them to you from all over the place?
Yeah, most of what we find is stuff we find ourselves. You know, when we get to a city, like when we get to Raleigh on tomorrow, we'll spend most of the day searching in thrift stores for more material. We'll check extra boxes home with us. But yeah, since we've been doing the festival, people have shared their finds with us, and that's one of our favorite things in the world. If we get a package in the mail, you know, it's like Christmas morning. You cannot wait to unwrap the package and see what's in there and put it in and hear the stories of how and where people found things.
Of course, that means you've got a VCR that still works.
Oh, several, yes. Maybe the last working VCRs.
Well, that raises this other question. I mean, now with YouTube and all the other video accessible online and so much of it really sort of the same quality, has the festival lost its edge at all?
We didn't know because we started pre-YouTube and we weren't really sure how an abundance of material in the same vein would affect the show. But actually, we found that our audiences have increased, and I think people's appreciation for this type of material has increased, too. There's sort of a shorthand. You tell somebody you're going to be watching exercise videos from the 80s, and they've seen something like that. But, you know, there is such a glut of material out there, like you mentioned, that I think people appreciate the role of a curator even more so, because there's so much material that's just plain bad, not even in an entertaining way, that you come across. And so I think they appreciate it that we've sort of, you know, separated the wheat from the chaff somewhat, and we're serving up just the highlights and just, you know, lavishing them with far more attention than they deserve. You know, we've tracked down the people in them. You know, it's an obsession for us.
The curation part is important, and I guess the communal part of it, too. We're all in the theater together, kind of laughing together.
Yeah, that's something that's missing. You know, we came up in the sort of the tape trading days where you'd find a weird piece of video, you'd dub it, and you'd sit around in a group of friends and trade tapes with them, and everybody would play their favorites, and you joke around. And that's something that when you get a funny video in your inbox or on Facebook and watch it, it's funny, but it doesn't have that sort of lasting obsessive thing that happens when you're in a group of people. You know, anything just becomes funnier. So, yeah, there is something magical when you're in a room of 200 other people and you're there to laugh and, you know, kind of laugh at these forgotten videotape moments.
And it's kind of the premise behind Mystery Science Theater 3000, if you remember that. I mean, the whole conceit that you were in a theater watching these films and making wise guy comments was an important part of the frame.
Yeah, and I worked on that show for a year in Minnesota towards the end of their run. And I remember that was a show where, you know, having grown up and watched bad TV and made fun of it most of my life, I was like meeting a long-lost brother. It was kind of like, wait a minute, you can be paid to be professionally, you know, smart Alex? Like, I want to do that. How can I do that?
I say bring it back because I stopped watching TV when that went off the air.
I understand completely.
And you also worked on Late Night with David Letterman, right? You were a segment producer and head
researcher? The Late Show, the CBS. Yeah, I worked there from, I think it was like 2000 to 2004. And I was the head researcher on the show. And part of my job was to find old embarrassing footage of celebrities to play when they were on the show. You know, I found like a training video that Julie Bowen did or celebrity bowling with Michael Douglas when he had these huge glasses. And I actually found a video that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in that we ended up playing on the show. Called Carnival in Rio, where they hired a few Brazilian escorts for him. This is pre-Terminator. And let him go nuts. And he gropes every woman in sight in this video. It's unbelievable.
Well, apparently. You should check his trash can now. Maybe he's got some home videos that would be a lot more interesting.
We'll head to Sacramento.
I want to play one more clip here because there are these very important videos now, you know, things, training films to kind of keep your kids safe.
Does your child know what a stranger is? What a stranger does? One of the ways to make it harder for the criminal to get through to your child is to use something called a code word. From then on, your child knows never to go off with anyone unless that person uses this secret code word.
Pizza. Toothbrush. Buzzard breath.
My code word is baseball, because that's what my mom thought of.
But now I know your code word.
I know.
That's so sad.
It is. And I'll just get it out of the way. My code word is Whiff Burger. So I just thought I'd give that up.
You've got one. It is amazing. This is the 80s, you know, and if you think about these films being made from the dawn of time, I want to be in the room where the folks are thinking this was a good idea. Who are those people who think that that's actually going to be an effective film for anybody?
Well, and that's the fundamental question that we walk away with and that people walk away with after seeing this show is what were they thinking? Yeah. How is this ever a good idea? And it's you know, very easy for us to laugh and say, well, it was a simpler time. But we're finding DVDs and videos from fairly recently, from the last 5 years, that are you know, are full of horrible decisions. you know, one thing we found is we're finding DVDs now, and that the technology changes and, you know, the production values get a little better, but, you know, the bad ideas never change.
Yeah, yeah, stupid.
So thankfully for us.
What's the weirdest or funniest video you've ever found?
Well, it changes from time to time, but there's one that we found. We were at an estate sale in Queens, New York, and, you know, where somebody's died and they're getting rid of their stuff. And we found a VHS camcorder there for $5. We bought it thinking we could shoot something with it. And when we plugged it in, when we got home, the tape popped out that was half recorded on. And so we were excited. We had no idea what was on it. We rewound the tape, pressed play, and it was this sort of overweight teenage girl wearing a costume dress dancing to the Phantom of the Opera, which is fine. And then the tape cuts, and it's an old man wearing the same costume dress staring directly into the camera dancing to the Phantom of the Opera soundtrack. Then it cuts again, and it's the same old man behind the camera, and he's getting into a screaming match with a construction foreman who's tearing down a house across the street from him. And it's just this little window into this man's life. And you're left to conjecture what happened before and after.
Sounds great. Nick, thanks so much for being in the program.
Thanks for having me.
Nick Prewer is co-founder of the Found Footage Festival. The festival is coming to the Rialto Theater in Raleigh tomorrow night, Wednesday, 8 o'clock. For more information, go to foundfootagefest.com. That's our program for today. Thanks for listening. Our website is stateofthings.org. You can check us out on Facebook. State of Things is produced by Amber Nimix and Alex Granados with help from Jeremy Loeb and Julia Cox. Anna Cassell is our intern. Robin Copley is the technical director. Managing editor is Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.